If you've got your Bibles with you today, on this first Sunday morning of November, turn with me to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, this morning we're going to do something that I have never done before in my nearly 26 years as a pastor. This morning, we're going to begin a series of studies, and we're going to spend the entire month of November thinking about Thanksgiving. We're going to learn what it means to develop an attitude of gratitude. My pastor, Adrian Rogers, told us years ago, he always said this, and I love it. He said, a thinking Christian is a thankful Christian. And I believe that to be true. A thinking Christian is a thankful Christian. There was a man who had bought a new pair of slacks. He wanted to wear them on Sunday mornings. And so he got this new pair of slacks, and he handed them over to his wife because everybody knows that most men, they can't iron. And so he handed this brand new pair of slacks over to his wife. And I mean, you, just like you knew, she wasn't thinking. And the new iron, something like that. And she burnt a hole through his brand new pair of slacks that he was looking forward to wearing to church the next day. And he started to get a little bit upset. I mean, you get that. I mean, you're looking forward to it. You want it. You kind of plan for it. And something bad happened. It's not there, but you started to get a little bit upset. But then he remembered a sermon that his pastor preached, much like I'm going to share with you this morning about being thankful in all things. And so he just kind of stopped right there, and he said a prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord. And he said, Lord, I thank you that at least my leg wasn't in the pants. There's always something for which we can be thankful. A.W. Tozier said so many years ago, gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God, and it is one that the poorest of us can make and not be poorer but richer for having made it. And so again, that's why over the next four Sunday mornings, counting today, we're going to begin thinking about Thanksgiving. We're going to learn what it means and how we can develop an attitude of gratitude. Look there in Psalm 100. Let me begin our study by looking at what the psalmist has to say about worship and thanksgiving. And will you notice with me this morning how the psalmist connects, watch this, the psalmist connects our thinking mind and our singing mouth with a thankful heart. A psalm of David, verse 1, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said so many years ago that the loveliest flower that blooms in the garden of the heart is the flower of gratitude. And when gratitude dies on the altar of man's heart, he is well nigh gone. And so every single one of us, and especially every single Christian, need to develop an attitude of gratitude. We need to have a thankful heart. We need to have an appreciative spirit. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. He said in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. So, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the psalmist as well as the Apostle Paul, we are told that we should be thankful. Now, here's the question. How do we do that? How do we do that? Or perhaps let's look at it from the other way. Let's come at it from a different direction. What keeps us from being thankful? What is it that robs our heart of the ability to have that attitude of gratitude? Well, first of all, if you're taking notes this morning, just jot this down. We are not naturally thankful. That's just a fact, that we are not naturally thankful. Now, the psalmist tells us here that we are to be grateful. In other words, we are not naturally thankful. It is something that we're not, but we need to be. And so anything that you have to be taught, that means that it's not part of human nature. For example, you don't have to teach a bird to fly. They just know it naturally. That mother bird will take that little baby bird and kick it out of the nest. And one second that little bird is falling, the next second that little baby bird is flying. Why? Because it just comes naturally. You don't have to teach a fish to swim. It just comes naturally. I love to bird hunt. I love to hunt in general. I love to quail hunt. And growing up raising and training bird dogs, dogs, you don't have to train a little bird dog puppy to point. It just comes naturally. You got to keep it, you got to train it to come back and all those sorts of things. But you can take a little bitty 6, 7, 8 week old bird dog puppy, put a quail wing out in front of it. It's going to run up there and point that thing just like it's been doing it its whole life. A retriever, perhaps you're a Labrador, my little boy can. At 6, 7, 8 weeks old, you don't have to teach a retriever to retrieve. You throw the ball out there, it's going to retrieve the ball and bring it back to you. It just comes naturally. So this past Friday night, I was sitting in a deer stand, and I was bored because there were no deer. And so there's very few things more boring than a deer stand when there's no deer. John looked at it last night. He said, "This is boring." I said, "It is till it isn't, all right? And when the deer come out, it's not." And so I'm sitting there, and I'm bored, and I'm doing like many of you all. I pull my phone out. I'm starting watching videos on Facebook. And that's what you do when you're bored, right? And so I'm just watching videos on Facebook, and I saw this video, maybe you've seen it, of a mother duck, and she's got this 8 ducklings behind her, and she's walking across this bridge, and all of a sudden this mother duck goes over to the side of the bridge, just jumps right off the side of the bridge into the river below. And as I'm watching this video, I'm going, what are these ducklings going to do? The mother duck just jumped off the bridge into the river. And so sure enough, every little duckling just lined up, walked over to the edge, jumped right over the edge into the river, just started swimming naturally. Why? Because it just comes as a result of nature. Can I tell you what comes naturally for us? Look right here this morning. Can I tell you what comes naturally for us? Sin. You don't have to teach anybody to sin. It just comes by nature. That's what Romans chapter 3 says. And so it is natural for us to be ungrateful, but it is unnatural for us to be grateful. And so that's why we've got to be taught to be thankful and grateful and to have that attitude of gratitude. And so we do this as parents. And so if you're new to Abilene, the Witt family, Kim and I, we have 4 children, 14 down to 8. And so we didn't just, children, Brother Roger, I don't know if you know this, but children don't come out learning to say thank you. Their first word is no. That's a child's first no. And so you have to teach them to say thank you. And so what do you say? Say thank you and thank you. And sometimes you can tell they really don't mean it. I say thank you. What do you say? Thank you. And so there's a little boy who a very nice lady gave him a piece of pie one day. And he was so, he loved it. He looked up at her. His parents had taught him very well. And so he looked up at this very kind lady who had just given him a piece of pie. And he said, thank you. And it shocked her. She almost dropped everything. She said, wow, I'm just so surprised. Very few children know to say thank you today. What a well-mannered little boy you are. He said, yeah. And if you'll put some ice cream right next to it, I'll say it again. There was a soldier I read about in World War II. He was a part of Patton's Third Army. And General Patton had sent him home from the front lines to a camp to rest. He'd been on the front lines, had been there for many, many, many months, and he needed some rest and refreshment. And then when he could get to where he could, he wrote a personal letter to General Patton thanking him for sending him and allowing him to have some rest. A few weeks later, he got a letter back from General Patton himself saying that in over 35 years, he was the very first soldier to ever send a thank you letter. And I got to thinking about that. That's very much, isn't it, like the story of the leper in Luke chapter 17. You have 10 lepers who were healed by Jesus. No doubt they were all happy. No doubt they were all excited. No doubt they were all overjoyed. No doubt they were all relieved to have been healed of that horrible, terrible disease of leprosy. And so they all went running off to tell the high priest that they've been healed just like Jesus had told them to. But in Luke 17, verse 15, notice what the Bible says. And one, say one. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Look right here. Gratitude is always a good thing. It is always right to be thankful and grateful because we live in a society, we live in a world where so many people are self-absorbed and self-centered, and even many Christians today, we accept and we enjoy and we take advantage of all God's good things, His provisions, with very little thanks. So Psalmist David knew better. As a matter of fact, David said in Psalm 69, verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. The psalmist said in Psalm 116, beginning of verse 16, O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. I have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Put a little star there. Remember that. We're going to deal with that one Sunday morning. And I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord. Now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Look right here. Being thankful is always in style, and having a grateful heart is always in season. And when you have a character that is marked by a thankful, grateful spirit, it's attractive to both God and all everybody else around you. But now here's the question. Why do we struggle with being thankful? I'll tell you why. Because so many times we're careless. We're just careless. We receive so many blessings that we just take them for granted. If we're not careless, then another reason perhaps is because we're proud. We think that we deserve what we got, and maybe perhaps even more than we've received. We're proud. My father in the ministry, Dr. James Merritt, puts it this way. He says, either you will be humbly grateful or you'll become grumbly hateful. Let me say that again for those of you in the back. You will either be humbly grateful or you will become grumbly hateful. And I have met a whole lot of Baptists that resemble that remark, okay? And so sometimes it's because of being careless or you're proud. Maybe you're envious. We see where somebody else has something more than we have, and so we become ungrateful for what we've already received. Maybe it's just because we're worldly. Far too many Christians, the world is more important than worshiping and living for Jesus. Sometimes we're dependent on others and we just kind of go with the crowd. And so since we live in a self-centered, self-absorbed culture, if we're following the crowd and they're ungrateful, then we're going to become ungrateful as well. Sometimes we just put it off. We're procrastinators. Let me ask you a question. Any other fellow procrastinators in the room this morning? Let me get an honest answer. Anybody married to, sitting next to, somebody who is a procrastinator, can I see your hands? That's how you get a real tell right there, okay? And so sometimes we just put it off. But then so many times it's because we're selfish. We only care about ourselves. If we get what we want, we really don't even stop to think about how others feel, much less stop to express our thanks and appreciation for what they've done for us. And so too many times, thankless people are selfish people who are always grabbing everything for themselves, never stopping to consider those around them. Why? Because we're not naturally thankful. And so as a result of that, number two, we need to develop a thankful heart. We're not normally naturally thankful, so as a result of that, we need to grow and develop a thankful heart. And so the psalmist tells us here that we're to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and we are to be thankful. And so again, we need to grow in our gratitude. We need to develop a thankful heart. Now remember, I told you a moment ago that a thinking Christian is a thankful Christian. A thinking Christian is a thankful Christian. So as we think about that, what should we be thankful for? Because the Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things. Say all things. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's easy to say thanks when everything's going good. When everything's really good in your life, it's easy to give thanks. I mean, you're in good health, your family's doing good, you have a job that's fulfilling and not too stressful, you've got enough money to pay the bills and maybe a little bit to put back for Christmas, your car is running, your house is standing, and so when things are good, it's very easy to be thankful, but Paul says we're to be thankful in all things, so what about when all things are not good? What about when some things are actually bad? There was a church member who had been inviting his friend to come to hear a pastor, just very much like me. He said, "Don't you come hear the most thankful preacher you have ever heard in your life?" And so he'd been on him and on him and on him. And finally, the guy agreed to come on a Sunday morning. And yet, just a severe, severe storm hit the area, flooded all the roads, washed out the ditch. I mean, it was just one of those bad storms. And so when these two guys showed up at the church, only three people were there, those two guys and the preacher. And so they're sitting there in basically an empty auditorium. The preacher walks out, and the friend who came with the other buddy looked over at his friends and said, "I bet he don't have much to be thankful for this morning." And yet that preacher got up, and as he opened up the service with only two guys sitting in an empty auditorium, he began to pray this prayer. "Dear Lord, it's stormy out tonight, and all the roads are washed out, and it's bad. But thank you, it's not always bad. Thank you, it's not always bad. There's always something to be thankful for." The Bible says in Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things," say all things. Catching a pattern? "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." One day, Matthew Henry, the great Bible teacher, commentator, he wrote a one-volume commentary that people have used, I mean, for decades and decades and decades. I mean, it is that big. In Tennessee, we would say it's a great big old honking commentary, all right? Yeah, maybe y'all understand that country talk, all right? It's a great big old honking commentary. And so this great Bible commentator, he got robbed one night, but he wrote down in his diary these words. He said, "Let me be thankful first that I was never robbed before. Second, that they took my money and not my life. Third, that even though they took all that I had, it wasn't very much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. There's always something to be thankful for." But now, how do we develop a thankful heart? How do we grow in gratitude? So just like with any muscle, you know, I've got great big muscles. Why are you laughing? And so I know that the more you work out your muscle, the bigger those muscles get. And so just like any other muscle, the more you work out the muscle of gratitude as you grow there, how do you do it? Let me show you with you a few ways how do you grow in gratitude. Number one, realize where all your good things come from. James 1:17 says this, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Every good thing that you have in your life, if you were to take out a sheet of paper this morning, we're going to do this in a couple of weeks, by the way. If you were to take out a sheet of paper and a pen, and if you were to begin to write down all the good things that are in your life, I mean, every good thing in your life, all the things that you would have on that page, and even all the many things that you would have forgotten to put down there, you would need to understand all those things come from a good, gracious, giving, loving God. You need to realize where all your good things come from. Number two, don't take God's blessings for granted. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." And so if you're a thinking, thankful Christian, then you're going to realize and remember, number one, my salvation is from the Lord. Can I get an amen right there? My salvation is from the Lord. Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace," say grace. "For by grace," God's riches at Christ's expense. "For by grace you have been saved through faith," say faith. "And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And so the very first thing, if you're a thinking, thankful Christian, you're going to be thankful for the fact that salvation is from the Lord. Number two, my very life, your very life, everything that it is comprised of comes as a good gift from God. The beating of my heart, the breath in my lungs, the little firing synapses up here in my brain, the strength in my legs, the food in my belly, the roof over my head, all of those come as a result of the blessings, the provision of a good, grateful, a gracious, giving God. Number three, Jesus bought me with his own blood. Jesus bought me with his own blood. Paul said to the church in Corinth, he said in 1 Corinthians 16, or 6 rather, verse 19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Billy Graham was writing along these same lines, and he shared how to be thankful in all things. And here's what he said. He said, thanksgiving, the giving of thanks to God for all of his blessings, should be one of the most distinctive marks of the believer in Jesus Christ. We must not allow a spirit of ingratitude to harden our heart and chill our relationship with God and with others. Now watch this. Pay attention. Nothing turns us into bitter, selfish, dissatisfied people more quickly than an ungrateful heart. And nothing will do more to restore contentment and the joy of our salvation than a true spirit of thankfulness. I saw on a church member's Facebook page, I think it was when I was still bored in that deer blind, and one of our church members posted this out on their they posted this out on their Facebook page, and so I made a copy of it and I put it here on my phone. And they had this little quote, and here's what it says: we give thanks to God not because of how we feel, but because of who He is. We give thanks to God not because of how we feel, but because of who He is. And I think it's good that the psalmist tells us and reminds us here exactly who God is. Look down there in your Bible. Look at in the 100th Psalm. Notice in verse 3, the psalmist tells us that, number one, He's God. He's God. Not only is He God, He's Lord. He's Lord. And then He is the Creator. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. And then He is our shepherd. He makes us, we're the sheep of His pasture. So verse 3, He's God, He's Lord, He's the Creator, He's shepherd. Verse 4, He's the King because you come into His courts. And then verse 5, He is good, He is merciful, He's truthful. Watch this. Let your mind meditate. Let your heart bask in that knowledge. And it's going to go a whole long way, a long, long way, towards helping you to develop an attitude of gratitude. There's always something for which you can be thankful. My pastor, Adrian Rogers, he told the story about years ago, probably back in the 80s. Could have been late 80s, could have been early 90s. And he needed to travel with his family from Memphis all the way back down to Florida. And so one of the members in his church, one of the good members, y'all know what I'm saying? And loaned Dr. Rogers an RV, we would call it back in the day, a Winnebago, for him to drive his family all the way from Memphis, all the way down to Florida. And then this good church member actually gave Dr. Rogers a credit card to pay for the gas for the trip. That's how you know that guy was sanctified. Amen? I mean, that guy is walking with the Spirit. That guy loves Jesus and his pastor. And so Dr. Rogers gets in this Winnebago, this RV, his family, they're driving down towards Florida, and about 400 miles down the road, this thing starts to sputter and mutter and mope. I mean, he just dies. I mean, he's going about 15 miles an hour, he's saying. He pulls off the highway, pulls into a service station. They can't see him for 2 or 3 days. Another service station, he finally limps down the road to. They're not even open, and they're in trouble. This thing is just dying. And finally, it does die in the parking lot of a Walmart. And Dr. Adrian Rogers, who is a great preacher, not a mechanic, gets out of that Winnebago, that RV, pulls up the lid on that thing and begins to look at it, trying to figure out what's going on. And he wouldn't know any more than I would know. And so he's just in there. And so finally, in the middle of all this, broke down in a parking lot, hundreds of miles away from home, hundreds of miles away from where they're trying to get. They can't go anywhere. This thing is dead. And Miss Joyce looks at Dr. Rogers through the lid and says, "Have you stopped to just thank God?" And Dr. Rush said, "What?" She said, "Have you just stopped to thank God?" And he says, "Well, you know, I do preach that all the time." And so Dr. Rogers began to thank God. "God, I thank you for this RV that has left me here in this parking lot. Lord, I thank you that it's broke down on me. I thank you that I'm hundreds of miles. And you could tell he just wasn't really sincere. When he got done, he said, amen. Anybody ever prayed a prayer like that? And then he said, no, that's not right. And he stopped and he began to just thank God for the generosity of a church member. And thank God that it wasn't broke down on the side of the interstate and that they were able to get off to a safe place and that nobody was hurt. And when he got done praying that prayer of thanksgiving, he looked up and there was a service, a tire center right across the parking lot. And the guys over there working on the tires had noticed this thing broke down. They came over and they said, what's going on? He said, I don't know that. It just won't go. And so one guy looked in there and said, oh, I see what's wrong with it. He reached in there, pulled something out, kind of rubbed it off, put it back in there, shook it up, turned a few screws, and all of a sudden, that thing fired back up. And Dr. Rogers said, no, it's got to be more than that. It's just, I've looked at it. And he said, no, that's it. And he was able to drive that on. And I thought about that story, and I thought, you know, even when things don't go our way, even when things are not good, we can always, and we should always stop to give thanks. Why? Because we're not naturally thankful. And so we've got to develop a thankful heart. And then lastly this morning, we must learn to live a thankful life. Another preacher put it this way. We need to be thinking thankful. There was a man who wanted to sell his house, and he wanted to get a new one. And it's like some of us, we live here in Columbia County, Brother Roger, and man, you can't find houses. I mean, people are making a killing. It's like cars today, all right? And so this guy wanted to sell his house and buy a new one, and so he did like so many of us, like you have done lately. He contracted a realtor. They came out. They filled out the paperwork there on the kitchen table. They put a sign in the front yard. The guy came through and took some pictures because he couldn't do it right then because, you know, you got to clean up your house, and if you got a family like I do, you got 15 minutes. And so the guy came through 15 minutes later at the house. I mean, just took pictures and put an ad in the paper, in the magazines, all those sorts of things. And so about a week later, this guy who put his house on the market, wanted to get a new place to live, he came across the ad for his house that this realtor had written up to sell his house. And he began to read it. His eyes got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so he finally called the realtor back, and here's what he said. He said, I've been wanting a place like that all my life. And I never realized that I had exactly what I wanted until I read the ad you wrote. There's always something for which to be thankful.